comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, that's a guarantee. I'm here because it matters. You matter too. And I'm delighted that you're here. Have you seen our my video blog today? Now, if you haven't, you need to go look at it. There are tons of folks that listen to the show, that watch the show, and never sign up for that free e-zine that we send out. And so they continue by choice to sit in the dark. Well, the video blog addresses something that was in the K-Files e-zine. And if you have not gone and watched it, then at least do that, okay? And I can't figure out why anyone would not sign up for the K-Files e-zine. It's absolutely free, and there are no strings attached. Well, I can figure out why you don't sign up for it right now. I closed the subscriptions, and you cannot sign up for it right now. They will reopen. We had to do some work on the software that handles all of that because of the hack attacks that we had. So that will be reopening. I had thought it would be open today, maybe by tomorrow. We'll try to do that. But the video blog talks about something that's very important that affects the show and therefore affects you, and so you need to be sure you watch that. Now, people get angry when I talk about this, but it sort of makes me chuckle sometimes when people say, I can't figure out how to do this or that on your website. Some of it I understand. It's a little difficult sometimes to figure out exactly where you should go to do this or that until you get used to it. But sometimes I get email where someone says, I wanted to watch your show live, but I couldn't figure out how to do it. And I always send them in a return email the picture of that big gray square that says Windows, got a button that says Windows and a button that says Mac, and it right at the top says Listen Live. I will get some about the video blog. Can't figure out how to do it. Look at the page. See if you see anything on there that says video blog. If you do, click it. It won't bite. Anyway, now I'll get angry email from someone who says I was insulting them. Well, if the shoe fits. My dad used to say you can tell if you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, you can tell which one you hit every time. Good old Southern saying. Anyway, for those of you who are members of the Kevin Smith Show members area, I will be in the chat room on Saturday night. Don't forget that. It's the first Saturday of the month. I'll be in there. And we'll have a good time. We always do. And I always get great ideas from you folks. And so I hope you'll join us, okay? You do have to register in chat because we put new software in there, remember? We'll be back right after this.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Jose Escamilla. He's been my guest before, and I'm delighted that he's back with us again tonight. Many of you know him all around the world. He's actually truly world-renowned as a filmmaker. And I first became familiar with Jose Escamilla and his work with his film that he did about rods. And I think a lot of you have probably seen that. And since then, I've looked and watched quite a number of other things that he has produced, most particularly Moon Rising. And I was privileged to be out in Hollywood for the world premiere of Moon Rising. He is now working on another project called Luna, and joins us this evening. Jose Escamilla, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Kevin, it's good to be back on your show. It's been a while, and I'm glad you had me on tonight.
Jose, as soon as I put it up on my website that you were going to be on the show tonight, I started getting email from people around the world. I've already got some flash messages from around the world with cool. People having questions for you, and when we get into that portion of the show, we'll read those. But tell us about this. What is this new project, Luna?
Well, you know, after I did Moon Rising, there were a lot of things I had to cut out. You were at the premiere, and you saw what the original rough cut of Moon Rising was. I had a big detail in there about the NASA, the Nazi NASA scientists, and the Bush, you know, Nazi connection and all that kind of stuff. I had to take that out of the film. Otherwise, you know, a lot of the people like History Channel and Discovery and, you know, companies like that, they said, there's no way we're going to air, you know, your film if you have that stuff in there, you know. So I had to re-edit the film, and you now see the final version of what came out. And I still haven't been able to sell it because now they're saying it's a little too controversial for their networks. So, you know.
Well, truth, you know, that's the interesting thing. Truth is always controversial because people would rather believe what they believe rather than know what is fact.
Yeah, and here's the thing, Kevin. I've been in the business for 30 years in the film and movie business, editing films and videos and things, commercials and such, for 30 years. And I know the game. You know, the game here in Hollywood is if you're part of the clique, you are part of the, you know, the fashion that puts out movies. But watch yourself. Watch what you release. You know, there's some studios that will shelve your stuff after you produce it, and it's with prejudice, extreme prejudice. You know, that there's certain things that is allowed to be released, and certain things that aren't. You know,
you're not implying that Hollywood goes against freedom of speech, which they're always belly aching about.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. There are certain films that have never been released that I know that were made. It depends on how you present your goods, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It depends on how you present the goods. I just wrote a screenplay, Kevin, and I finished it about 3 weeks ago. And I'm telling you right now, everyone that's read it feels this is going to be a big blockbuster. I'm talking to a very good friend of mine, Richard Brandis, who's a producer of many films. And he and I did movies back in the early 90s, you know. We did a movie together, and he's done quite a few since then. I got involved in the UFO thing, so we kind of separated. But I've written a screenplay, the ultimate screenplay, Kevin, and your listeners are going to hear about it tonight. It's called The Battle of Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah. That's a great, great story.
Well, this is it, and I've put together a screenplay that it's the kind of movie I'd want to see made of that particular event. And I'm not talking a documentary. This is going to be my first feature film with real actors and actresses and, you know, special effects, and we're going to recreate the Battle of Los Angeles as has never been accomplished. I mean, it's going to be awesome.
Absolutely.
And we're talking major, major, major players that are going to be involved. We have a cast. Hopeful cast, you know, Scarlett Johansson, Claire Danes, you know, people of this nature that are going to be part of the cast. We're looking to contact them eventually when we finish the screenplay. I'm redoing a second revision of the screenplay right now as we speak. And I'm excited. I have a production company. We are going to make this movie once and for all. It will be made.
Well, that's good news. You know, that is a real event for folks that don't know it. It's a real UFO event that took place during World War II over Los Angeles. And I won't go into the details here, but, you know, it has every element, especially if you use special effects, every element to make a really thrilling movie. Captivating
movie. It's going to be awesome, Kevin. Yeah. I guarantee you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to email you the screenplay. I'm going to email you the first draft. Since then, I've developed the characters, you know, a little better on the central part, the central characters. But when you read what you get, you're going to agree. It is a dynamite motion picture that it's going to evolve into. And I've seen some of the special effects that were done by a couple of people that I hired. And these are kids, man. These other teenagers that are on the PCs, and it's incredible what they can do with PCs nowadays. It's amazing.
Yeah,
they're recreating the battle in different angles, different points of view. The story centers on six people that were their lives were changed forever because of that event. And I'm really excited, and I felt, you know, I've been working on this screenplay for the last year, and finally finished it 3 weeks ago. And people that have read it are saying, "Man, this is going to be huge." So, and we're doing it totally independently, you know.
So, well, you know me. I like independent.
Yeah.
That's the way to go. Okay, let's get back to Luna now. Tell us, because this is one you've got going right now. And and by the way, thank you for giving me the permission to show the trailers tonight. I am going to show the trailers, and folks, you're going to see something that some of you have seen before, a little film clip from NASA that some of you have seen before, but for those who haven't, your eyes will roll back in your head. You just won't believe
it's
what
amazing.
You're going to see.
It's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah, okay, so what is Luna about? What is this film?
Okay, let's take this back to Moon Rising. When I finished editing the first version of Moon Rising, which you saw at the movie premiere,
mm-hmm.
I had barely found out that there were color photography of the moon available on the USGS website. Okay, it had only been like a couple of weeks before the movie premiere that I go, wow, I just found out that there's color photographs of the moon. And I'm not talking black and white color. I'm talking full color photography. So I was in the middle of a hiccup, okay? When I finally released the final version of Moon Rising, which was in March, I didn't, you know, had not had the chance to really look at all the color photographs that I downloaded from the USGS website. So in comes to play a new film, and I go, you know, I'm going to make a movie that's all about the color photography, nothing else, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And whatever else information that comes forth, I'm going to put it into another movie called Luna. And the reason I picked the name Luna is because in Latin and Spanish for, you know, centuries, Luna means moon.
Mm-hmm.
And also the word Luna represents, in the intelligence community, represents the alien moon base on the far side of the moon. So if you're part of the intelligence community, and you casually mentioned, let's talk about Luna, you're talking about the alien moon base on the far side of the moon. So it's an apropos title for a film that presents the evidence, and it's all full-color evidence.
Okay, now, just to give folks a little flavor, I'm going to show them trailer number 2 first.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Okay.
And even in trailer number 2, I see some anomalies that are fantastic. But here we go, folks. This will be trailer number 2.
Okay.
And what we see, for those who are on the radio, we're looking at color photographs of the moon. We're seeing blues and greens. And
it looks like golden
uh-huh.
mountain.
And it looks like a statue and a complex. And now we're looking at a triangular blue thing. And now we're looking at a crater that has all kinds of light coming out of it. And just phenomenal. Just phenomenal. We'll look at trailer number one later, because in trailer number one, you're going to see a video clip, a motion clip, of something that happened on the moon that will make your eyes just roll back in your head. When I saw this for the first time, you know what I'm talking about. We're not going to tell folks yet, but you know what I'm talking about. When I saw that for the first time, I said, what? What was that? And I rolled it back, or I rewound, and I played it again, and my mind still said, what in the heck did I just see? I watched it three or four times before my mind settled down and accepted the fact that, although I don't know what it is, I saw what I saw.
Yeah, it's absolutely there. I didn't make any trick photography, just so that the audience is aware. I'm pretty good at After Effects and Photoshop and things like that, but I'm not a guy that can get in there and fake something on the original Apollo 14 footage. It is right there. You can order the Apollo 14 DVD disc set, okay?
Well, as a matter of fact, the first time I saw it was not in your trailer. I saw it on someone else's YouTube site. And
exactly. And that person, I contacted that person. I said, where in the world did you get that? And his name is Gary. And his name is Paul. I'm sorry. Doesn't want me to mention his last name. But he's the one that found it. I just saw it, and I go, holy moly, man, I got to check this out, see what's going on.
Yeah.
So he sent me the clip, and then, I'm mentioning him in my film, you know. But it turns out that it's from Apollo 14. And anyone that buys the disc set, believe me, I'm not working with NASA trying to sell DVDs for them, but you have to see it for yourself. You know, if you don't believe that we're presenting the truth, check it out. It's right there. It's on DVD number 5. And when you see this clip, you're gonna freak out, because it was there. And you know, Kevin, the cool thing about it is there's only two ways to go about it. Either this happened on the moon, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or it happened in a studio where it was fake. There's no two ways to go about it.
Well,
I
agree. But here's the thing. I think if it happened in a studio, they would have noticed it in the studio. They would have seen it happen. They would have seen... Well, look, let's just go ahead and show folks what it is. And
okay, go for it.
Yeah, let's just go ahead and show folks what it is here. All right, here we go. And we're seeing all these points of light. And now we're seeing the moon. We're looking at what looks like a statue. And now we're looking down on what looks like a complex. And there's the statue again. Or it looks like it to me. What was that? Look at that, folks. Some sort of critter jumps off of the lunar landing module and runs away. What the heck is that? What's the deal with that?
When I saw that, Kevin, it blew me out of the water. I go, holy skamoli, man, I'm going to check this out thoroughly. And I went and got the DVD disc set, you know. I had it purchased, and sure enough, it's there. Now, this is 16mm film that was shot of the LEM, and this was minutes before, it was about 15 or 20 minutes before the LEM took off back into orbit on their way back to Earth. So
the astronauts are inside.
I'm sorry?
The astronauts were inside the LEM, the door is shut, they're preparing to take off.
Exactly. Edgar Mitchell and I forget the other guy's name, Smith, I believe, they were already inside in the airtight, you know, capsule.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no two ways about it. You can't roll the window down and throw something out. Because I get a lot of people, oh, that's just a cloth being thrown out. I go, sorry, you know. That cloth is about 3 feet tall, because the ladder that you see there, you know, that's about 10 feet tall, you know.
Well, and here's another thing, too. In the original clip, there's more of that clip than what you have in your trailer. And in the original clip, you can see whatever this is run away across the landscape. It goes fast.
And I had a anthropologist out of New Mexico. Her name is Deb, and she's an old friend of mine. And I said, Deb, take a look at this. Tell me in your professional opinion, is this a primate, or is this a cat, or what could this be? And she said that it has the movement of a primate.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look closely at it, and of course in the movie, in Luna, we're going to do all sorts of slow motion enhancements, everything else, zoom ins. We're going to spend, I think, probably about 6 minutes just on the footage, just so that you can see how this thing moves, you know? And she said it definitely has the movement and the locomotion of a primate type of creature. Now, whatever kind of primate there is that exists on the moon that's about 3 feet tall, that jumps off the bottom of the limb, we'd like to find out what it is. How NASA missed this one, I don't know. But Kevin, as well as I do, there are whistleblowers that have worked at NASA, and they might have let this one slip through.
Could be on purpose.
Sure.
Yeah.
And like I said, there's only two ways about it. It could have been something on the moon, or it was something in the studio.
Let's say it was in a studio. If you had a monkey loose in the studio, that's a primate. You have a monkey loose in the studio. Everybody in the studio is soon going to know there was a monkey loose in the studio.
Yeah, exactly.
And therefore, they could have controlled that and made sure that they didn't get it shot. This is there because, in my opinion, they couldn't control it. It happened on the moon, and it was out of their control. And, the film shows what the film shows.
And they probably overlooked it. Because, mm-hmm. You have to realize, when they were filming this stuff, it ran for hours. They were filming for hours out there. So they might have not even seen it. The guy might have, at his station, might have just turned around and take a puff of a cigarette. This thing jumps off. He goes back. It's just a regular view again. You understand?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, to me, the fact that it's there indicates to me that it's on the moon. Because in a studio, you have a closed environment, and they could have controlled it. All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back right after this. This is the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest is Jose Escamilla. Now, Jose, you mentioned first of all, you just have a penchant for getting video that most of us would miss. But then, that's the business you're in. But take us to this base on the far side of the moon, Luna. Are there photographs of this base?
Yeah. First of all, the Apollo photography that we've seen for the last, for the past 40 years that we've been allowed to see has been manipulated. A lot of it has been tampered. NASA deliberately has removed a lot of the backgrounds in the dark areas, the photography. They've even eliminated the crosshairs of the Hasselblad cameras that were taking the photography of the landscapes and everything else to keep you, the public, from seeing what is really there. By downloading the full color photography that's available on the United States Geological website, there's no doubt that what they've been hiding from you is something that is some kind of a structural architecture that is beyond human standards. It's an alien architectural garden, if you will. There are things up there that are so huge and massive that you just can't explain how they were made. And the full-color photography allows you to see the depth and perception of these huge, enormous towers. There's towers, there's domes. There are structures that look like bases. I mean, a complete military outpost type of thing, but not the kind we're used to here on Earth. These are an alien type of outpost, and it's just amazing what you're going to see in the film Luna. In Moon Rising, you can see some of the stuff, but Luna, the film that I'm doing, focuses on you know, these structures and domes and things more so than I was able to do in Moon Rising.
In the trailer that we just saw, both in number one and number two, both trailers, you use a photograph that looks to me like a very tall statue.
Now, yes, it looks like a humanoid.
Yeah.
With a little gray alien type of statue, right?
Well, let me look at it again. I can see it better in if I use, I think I saw it best in trailer number two. So let's go to that, and we'll take a look at it. Let's see what we have here in trailer number two. Okay, we're looking at a moonscape with all different kinds of colors, brightly lit craters. There it is. Yeah. Looks like a statue.
And there's two ways you can look at it. You know, it looks like it's a taller adult humanoid that has his arm around a smaller, big-headed, you know, juvenile-looking humanoid. Or it looks like a humanoid form that is drilling with a what appears, you know, what could be a what do you call those things, man, that you can drill on the highway, asphalt? What do you call those, man? They're
jackhammer.
Yeah. Looks like maybe it could be an alien type jackhammer. But the clincher about this is these things have been photographed by the Clementine mission in 1994 from about 75, maybe 80 miles above the surface of the moon. So this structure, or these structures, whatever they are huge. They're massive.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it does look humanoid in shape, but it looks like a structure. You know, that's why I said it. I mean, it looks like something that's built or carved. Looks like it's made out of stone of some type. How tall would that thing be? Do you have any idea?
Well, you figure this is from about 80 miles above the surface of the moon. So as huge as those things look, they could be 1,500, maybe 2,000 feet tall.
Wow.
You know, close to a mile. I mean, even Richard Hoagland, you know, with his shard, he says that thing was about 1.5 miles tall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, glass structure of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And these things are right there, very prominently seen. I mean, there's no mistaking about it. It is something very strange. You can't tell me that's a crater.
No, it's not a crater. You know, I've written a little e-book report on Venus, and I've put some pictures of structures on Venus in my e-book. And then I've done the same thing with Mars. It will be coming out in a few days.
Cool.
But one of the statements that I hammer in there is, when is the last time your eyes saw a cow and you allowed someone to convince you it was a Cadillac?
I know.
You know,
exactly.
We only do that if the photographs are off Earth. If it's on Earth, and we're looking at satellite photographs, and we see a pyramid in the satellite photograph, we say, well, there's a pyramid. And everybody goes, amen. Well, that over there looks like an impact crater on Earth. And everybody says, amen. Okay, take that photograph away and bring in one from the moon, and or from Mars or from Venus. And you look at it and you say, that looks like a a pyramid. Oh, well, no, that has to be some sort of geological uplift from two regions that, you know, and they go through all these mental gyrations when if it's on Earth, everyone would say, you're right, it's a pyramid.
Right. But it's not plausible for it to be on the moon because the moon is supposed to be a desolate piece of rock full of no color, gray. And, you know, here's an argument that I've had, Kevin. And, you know, I'm re-releasing Moon Rising because after putting it on YouTube since July, I've had a lot of people that just don't get it. They say, well, how come the moon is gray when we see it from Earth? Which is a valid argument, and I missed that one. I didn't put that in the film. You know, why is it that the moon looks gray to everyone, even through telescopes from Earth? And what I'm redoing on Moon Rising is I'm putting that segment in there that shows you why it looks gray. And, I mean, I even have Neil Armstrong talking about how the farther they get away from Earth, you know, valid that the Earth does look kind of bluish, you know, and then the white clouds, but all the continents, you know, the brown continents and the green vegetation and all that, everything turns gray the farther they get out into space. That's because the atmosphere has aberrations that it creates. That the farther you get away, it loses color. It looks gray.
Mm-hmm.
The Earth looks gray, you know, farther in space. I have the footage and everything else. Also, this also proves that a lot of the moonshots of the Earth, where you can see the continents brown and all that kind of stuff, they were fake. Because Neil Armstrong already told you, hey, the farther we get away from Earth, the more gray it looks. So all these color photos of the Earth rise and all that, it's all fake, man. You know? And that's part of the whole deal. So in Moonrising, the director's cut, I'm calling it, I'm going to have that segment in there as to why the Earth looks, I mean, why the moon looks gray from Earth. And it's all explanatory, and it's all scientifically proven, so people will finally get it. Hey, this is the reason it looks gray, and this is the reason NASA has played with you and made you think that it's gray and a desolate piece of rock and airless and, you know, that kind of thing. But we know different now.
Well, of course, we know that they monkeyed around with the colors on Mars, and they showed us this red, red dirt and red sky for years. And then accidentally let a picture from Viking slip through the Viking lander, and there was a blue sky.
Right.
It was a blue sky.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And we also, Jose, there are astronauts that went to the moon that we heard while they were on the moon talking about colors.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm going to present in Luna. Kerry Martinek, who's in my first in Moon Rising, he's brought out some incredible stuff. There's an orbiting satellite called the Rosetta, which has filmed the Earth and the Moon. And guess what? The Moon is brown from space. It's now white and gray. And, you know, this is one of their main satellites that's out there monitoring the Earth and the Moon at the same time. So there's a lot, you know, that we're going to divulge in Luna that's going to, you know, show people, look, this is what it really is. You know, it's not what you've been told for 45 years. You know, you've been faked out by NASA. They lied to us, you know. There's more to the moon than what you anticipate. You know, recently they set this, they said it was not a bomb, but, you know, early on they were talking about a two-ton bomb they were blasting on the surface of the moon. And first of all, who are we to blast anything on the moon? Okay, granted, people are saying, well, you know, the moon gets hit by meteorites all the time. Yeah, that's fine, but that's nature. You know, that's the mm-hmm. universe. Who are we to go over there and blast something, blast a hole in the moon that's supposed to be 5 miles deep, you know, 5 miles in diameter, what have you? Who are we to do that? Come on, man. You know, it's just not right. So,
well,
there are
a number of mysteries about that mission.
NASA says, and we're going to have the footage and all that in a couple of days. You know, they've never showed us what happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not surprised. Surprised at all.
Well, I'm not surprised either. But, you know, you've looked at these photographs. I mean, you have looked at probably thousands of these photographs from all over the moon. You've seen and identified and chosen for your films certain of these anomalies. So let me ask you the $64 million question. We've got about a minute and a half here before we go to break. $64 million question. Have you seen in these photographs anything that to you indicates that the moon is currently inhabited by living beings of some type?
Yes, I have. And the photographs, though, that I'm talking about were photographed in 1994. Okay? Mm-hmm. These are not recent photos. These are from the Clementine mission from 1994. 1.8 million digital photographs were taken. All full color. Yes, I see what anyone that observes this would say, hey, that's artificial lighting. That is not an illumination by the sun. It's in the dark side of the moon. It's nighttime. And here you have things that are lit up like you're seeing a refinery. You know, here in Los Angeles, we have this refinery over there near San Pedro. And it lights up like a Christmas tree, you know, from above Earth. You can see it. Mm-hmm. There are structures, there are buildings and things that are on the surface of the moon that at night are self-illuminated. There are UFOs there. I see many UFOs there that are even casting light onto the surface of the moon. Luna's going to bring out a lot of neat things. And I'm going to say, Kevin, yes, I believe there's a civilization that exists there today. Or at least it did in 1994.
Well, and I would not suspect that since 1994, if it was a civilization, that it has been abandoned and that they've gone elsewhere. Now, if it was just an outpost, then maybe. But, I mean, if we're talking about city-sized structures, then you're probably talking about a sizable population.
Absolutely. And what's curious is that suddenly we have all these countries that are suddenly planning to go to the moon, including our enemies, mm-hmm. that are using the same logo that NASA uses, you know, the vector symbol. And they're all going to the moon. Why? Because I think that we found something there that we brought back that's very valuable. It could be the mountains of gold for all we know.
All right. We have to take a break. We'll step away for a few minutes, and when we come back, more with Jose Escamilla. This is the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening is Jose Escamilla. Jose, I had asked you the $64 million question, and then we had to go to break. And just as we went to break, you were saying that the reason all of these countries are going back to the moon, are going to the moon, is because you think we found something there. And then you said something about mountains of gold. Tell us about mm-hmm. the mountains of gold.
I had some photography. Like I say, I don't make this stuff up. This is NASA and the Clementine mission of what appeared to be golden mountains. I mean, they look like golden nuggets. I think that's on the first trailer, or the second trailer, the second lunar trailer. You can see these mountains of gold. They look like gold ingots on the surface of the moon. And they're huge. Don't be fooled by the size of these things. These are probably as big as Mount Everest, if anything. You know, they're huge, solid gold mountains. It looks like gold to me, okay?
Okay, and you said you think this is going to be on trailer number 2?
I believe so, yeah. And, you know, perhaps the civilizations that existed there before, maybe they took off. Maybe they said, all right, we're done checking you guys out. We're out of here. You know, loot whatever you want off the moon. We don't care, you know.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at those. Yeah.
Check it out, Kevin. I mean, this is full-color stuff.
All right, now, Jose, explain to us, why does the USGA, the U.S. Geological Survey, have photographs, color photographs of the moon? Why them?
Okay, a lot of people don't realize that the USGS was involved back in the 60s with the moon, the Apollo moon landings and the whole program, you know, from 61 till whenever it was stopped. And they even created their own lunar landscape, allegedly, for the astronauts to practice on. But ironically, it was the same, you know, site. And I'm talking, they created their own craters, everything perfectly to match what is supposedly on the moon. So whether or not they used that site to fake the moon landings, we'll never know, you know. But it's just ironic that they're capable of doing that back in the 60s.
Well, you know, now, if they fake the moon landings, how would we have this movie of the critter jumping off of the lunar lander?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Either it was faked or it was real. There's no two ways about it. So I'd like to get an answer from NASA, which will never comment. They'll probably say, oh, it was just something that fell off the limb. Okay, that's a nice answer, you know?
Yeah, whatever fell off of the limb ran away.
I know. You can see this thing leaping.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You can actually see its arms as it leaps off, you know, jumps off, and then it does this leap, this kind of a leap like a primate, you know. And remember, that ladder is about, you know, 10, maybe 20 feet tall. It's not a small little ladder. This creature must have been 3 feet tall at least, you know. So it's amazing.
Well,
I don't know what it is. I don't think NASA knows what it is.
Yeah, but you had a...
They're going to be telling us.
You had an anthropologist that took a look at this, right?
Yeah, and that's just one. I mean, we should get this footage seen by different anthropologists, you know. And the bottom line is, yeah, it looks like a primate, but there's no detail. We can't see what it was, but it has the movement.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have as many anthropologists check it out. Before I finish, Luna, I promise the audience, I'm going to make sure that I have different opinions from different scientists to look at that, you know, anthropologists and stuff. And we just don't know what it is, but it has the movement of something that's alive.
Yeah, it does. And like I say, if you look at a longer version of the clip, I know you cut it in order to use it in the trailer, but when you look at the longer version, you can see it running away from the limb, running towards the horizon.
Yeah, it definitely takes off and leaps off the. It jumps off the limb first of all, hangs there momentarily for a couple of seconds, and then boom, jumps down, and then it leaps, and then it goes down the ladder as much as it can. But it's definitely moving unlike anything you would think. I mean, I've got skeptics that have looked at it, sat here in my studio, and they go, that's a clock being tossed out the window. I go, dude, once you're inside the castle, you can't roll the window down. You know, this is not a car.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They try to explain it away, which is comical. But it's stupid anyway. You know, whatever it is, it was definitely there, and it leaps off. And like I say, there's no two ways about it. Either it was really there on the moon, or it was in a studio. If it was in a studio, like you pointed out, hey, they would have said, hey, man, get Johnny's monkey out of here, man. What's up?
Yeah, and then they would have done the shot again without the monkey.
Edited it, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a live transmission. It was there, whatever it was. There's also another thing that flies through the scene. It looks like a white rod.
Yeah.
Flies through the scene, and that was kind of a curious shot because the top part seems to be like a straight line. I'm still kind of confused about why the dark area of the top part of the lunar surface was like a square, like a cardboard was in the way of this thing flying in. It's just kind of curious.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what was going on at that time, but definitely something, some kind of activity.
All right, we were talking about the possibility that the moon has a civilization on it. Have you seen things in these photographs that you're using for Luna? Have you seen things, and are you going to show us those things, that are large enough for it to be a civilization?
Absolutely. Like I said, when I first downloaded a lot of the stuff that was in Moon Rising, I just barely tipped the iceberg. There was only about, you know, 20 photos at least that I was you know, and these were my favorite things. I had Aristocaris, you know, the crater that looks like a nuclear reactor, what have you. It's one of my favorite shots. But it wasn't after, you know, I released the movie that I started looking at these photographs and downloading more and more. And that's when I started seeing, you know, the golden mountain things and the statues. I mean, had I seen the statues, you know, with the that looks like a humanoid and a juvenile humanoid, I would have put that in Moon Rising, believe me. But, you know, I barely tipped the iceberg at that time. Mm-hmm. Now I've had time to look at all the photos that I downloaded. I've downloaded close to about 800 photos from the USGS website. And it took time because I had to download them in the highest resolution so that I could get really in there and zoom in. And I plan to make an IMAX film called The Full Color of the Moon, and it's going to be 40 minutes. And the curious thing about IMAX is that it has to be scientific. It can't be controversial. I spoke with IMAX back in 2007 about doing a UFOs at IMAX feature. UFOs at IMAX, which would have been cool, but they just couldn't figure out how I could present something and keep it out of the fringe and more into the scientific area, because, you know, UFOs are considered fringe science.
They are by the fringe media.
Huh?
I knew that would stump you. I call what everybody else calls major media, I have now begun referring to as fringe media, because they refuse to report on the things that are interesting to the majority of the people, and that's based on actual polls. So they're not mainstream anymore. They are fringe. CNN is fringe.
The thing about IMAX is that these are museums that are funded, okay, by grants and things like that, by the government and, you know, private entities. So for them, I mean, why do you think IMAX has been around like 20, 30 years? Why do you think they have not had one IMAX feature called UFOs at IMAX? Because it's not science. They're claiming it's fringe. So what I have to do is I have to go around and bring to them a film, and I'm going to do it. At first I was going to call it The Planet Moon, which to me that was really cool, but it's controversial. Mm-hmm. Now you've gone into the fringe science, so I'm just going to call it The Color of the Moon. And the discovery of a USGS website, probably I'm going to play it all in their hands, because it's all right there. They cannot bend on it. They can't lie. You know, so IMAX is just going to have to give me a break and put my film out there. That's it. It's a 30-minute film, and it's dynamite. When you see the stuff that's going to be on IMAX, full color, right there in your face, it's going to be totally, totally cool, Kevin.
Outstanding.
And you're invited to that premiere once we ever get it launched, you know?
Outstanding. I'd love to come to another one of your premieres. You know how to put them on, I can tell you.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it'll be at IMAX this time.
That'll be cool.
It's been a long dream of mine, you know?
Yeah. All right. We have a break that is coming up on us here in about, there it is. And so we have to step away for a few minutes. And when we come back, we'll open up the telephone lines for you folks. Don't go away. To the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you joining us just now in this second hour, my sympathies to you for missing the first hour, because you missed a whale of a lot of really dynamite information. Isn't that the way the guy used to say it? Dynamite. My guest is Jose Escamilla, and we are discussing his movie that is in production, Luna. And we are discussing some of the pictures, and he has shared with us a couple of trailers, and we've seen some of the pictures of these really phenomenal things on the moon. The telephone lines are open, and the telephone number is 623-444-5889. The toll-free number, 888-223-5889. $45.99. If you are outside of the USA and you are outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message. You go to my website and just scroll down and click where it says flash message. My website is kevinsmithshow.com. All right, let's go to the telephone. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin, North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello there, and Jose Escamilla. What I am honestly anxiously awaiting this documentary of yours. It sounds like it's going to be great. And I've done quite a bit of research on a lot of the stuff that goes on the moon. I'm actually going to be reading A Dark Mission there as soon as I can get the time to do it. Do you go into detail in your film about who you think or have evidence of who is actually on the moon? Could it be are they the Greys, or could it be the Anunnaki, or both, or somebody else?
You know, that's one of the things I get asked a lot, who's up there. I have no clue. please don't misunderstand me. You know, I'm a filmmaker. I'm a researcher, but a lot of the guys that are doing the actual moon research are guys that, like yourself, that have probably been doing it for a long time. I have no idea who or what is up there. All I can show you is that there is something up there or someone. The photography, it's amazing. It speaks for itself. There's something
Absolutely.
Up there that's way out of it, you know. And maybe we'll find out that it is the Greys, or maybe they are these giants, you know, the Nibiru.
Nephilim.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there could be, you know, substantial types of races up there. You know, another thing too, Stefan Anton, he's there from Canada. He feels that there's a small civilization, as small as 1 or 2 inches tall, that NASA has captured. As a matter of fact, I have, and I'm going to present this in Luna, the possibility that there are small civilizations that have been, brought back to Earth by NASA. I mean, it looks like there's small structures. It's amazing. I mean, we just don't know. There's a lot of things there that are going on the moon that we've not been privy to. And all I'm doing is just trying to bring as much evidence out there as to what's there. I mean, I can't explain it, but it's there, you know.
Hmm. Yeah, because Bob Dean, he says that it's the Anunnaki that are up there, at least mainly anyway, that they're the majority of the ones, at least the structures up there belong to them. And he's quite a reputable guy, you know. He was a member with NATO. He had cosmic top secret clearance, and he's part of a network of old boys that had access to a lot of top secret classified information about the extraterrestrial presence in our at least in our solar system and on our planet. So
I've known Bob for many years, and he's definitely got the credibility. But here's another thing for you. Carl Sagan, okay? Carl Sagan even mentioned, listen, there's a possibility that if an alien race were to come towards Earth and would try to observe us, the perfect place for them to situate themselves would be the far side of the moon. And this is Carl Sagan.
Okay? Yeah.
So he's one of the most respected astronomers of our time. He even said it. Hey, look for artifacts. He says, as a matter of fact, you may find artifacts on the moon and Mars, left by older civilizations. So you know, it's coming full circle. I tell you, there are a lot of people out there. I love the internet. I love YouTube because it allows a lot of people to do their own research, their own presentations. And believe me, it's coming full circle. I think we're going to finally get disclosure here, you know, pretty soon, hopefully.
I hope you're correct about that. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, yes, my name is James from upstate New York, Hudson Valley.
Hi, James. Hudson Valley, you've had a quite a lot of UFO activity up your way.
Yeah, I called in like a couple of months ago. Me and my brother called in. We were guys that got chased by the UFO for about a mile or so.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember.
And I was wondering, Jose, do you think that the apparently David Wilcox, I don't know if you've heard of him, and Richard C. Hoagland, they've been saying that there's something big that's going to happen on the horizon soon. Do you think that they're going to reveal that there are structures on the moon, or what do you think?
I certainly hope so. You know, I hope officially whoever, you know, finally presents it to us, hopefully, you know, maybe being NASA or the scientists, you know, they say, all right, cat's out of the bag, here it is, you know, there are structures there, blah, blah, blah. You know, hopefully, you know, I would love it. It makes my job a lot easier because, you know, I'm over here trying to say, guys, that is a structure right there. This is a real dome-shaped facility that's on the moon. Oh, here's another one, too. I found a dome that appears to have been damaged. I mean, you can tell that it's broken, and that's going to be in Luna. And it's a full-color photograph of a dome that's definitely broken. You know, no two ways about it. Another one, no two ways about it, Kevin.
So when you say it's broken, are you saying like it got blown up or something?
Yeah, yeah. It looks like a glass dome that's cracked in half, like an egg.
Hmm.
You know, and you can definitely tell that there's something inside, and that it's been exploded or imploded, whatever happened. But you can see that it definitely used to be a glass structure that's cracked open.
Wow.
And that's plain as day. No doubt about it. It's right there.
Now, if it's glass, we should be able to see through it, right? It's transparent.
You can definitely see things inside it.
Uh-huh.
And you can tell that it was definitely a glass dome, but it was cracked open, and like most of the central part of it has caved in or exploded or what have you. But you can tell it's a round dome shape that has the middle of it cracked open. It's really cool. You know?
Oh, all right. I'm trying to picture that in my mind. Yeah, I got it.
When you see it, you're going to go, holy moly, it's a dome that's been cracked open. No doubt about it, you know?
I have here a flash message that came from Canada, and it says, breaking news, very odd coincidence happened. As that lunar video of that critter was being shown, the video super lagged. It was being disrupted, and then it stopped after the presentation. Someone didn't want us to see it.
my.
I'm surprised, aren't you? I'm just surprised.
Me anymore. Nothing surprises me anymore.
Me too. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, hello. Bob. How's it going?
Good.
Good.
It was kind of interesting. I wasn't going to call in, but I was just checking out a little bit of the research of Mr. Escamilla. The thing is I noticed it said on March 5th, 1994, you videotaped like your first rod over New Mexico. Is that true?
It was my first UFO sighting.
Uh-huh.
Some 16 minutes of UFO activity over Roswell in Midway, New
Mexico. This is so weird. This is why I phoned in. In 1994, I don't think it was March. I think it was the summer. I was in New Mexico in Redoso, and I had the strangest experience of my life. And it wasn't a rod experience, but what it was is I was out in Redoso, New Mexico in 1994, and I was staying at this house with some people there. And, you know, they were nice enough to let me pass through. And I was studying the Native American culture. And I learned a lot, but one of the things I learned was every single person in that house believed that they had been abducted. And I was supposed to stay there for a week, and these were Christian, nice people. So over the course of a few days, going for rides and talking to, and these were very close people, I had determined that they were 100% convinced that they had woken up in the middle of the night with lights flashing in their eyes, and things had happened. And one of the things that they had mentioned is a lot of their neighbors had a lot of cattle mutilations, and how it was so real to the fact that it was actually really hurting their finances. And one time when I was going for a ride, because I actually asked them to take me for a ride to see if we could see a UFO out there, so I was UFO hunting in New Mexico in the hills in 1994, and he told me this one story about how a lot of the Native American people were driving through the area on the mountains and overlooking an area. There was a UFO, and so maybe about 10, 15 cars had started really piling up, and the local sheriff pulled up, and the local sheriff or deputy that was on duty around there pulled up in his, I think it was an SUV or the Blazer type thing, and he pretty much told everybody that they better move along right now, and they didn't see anything. My question I'll leave you with is, I thought you might find it interesting, since a random person was out there when I was 15 years old, all the way from where I'm at, just to study some Native Americans. I came across that. Do you think any of that has to do, it possibly might not have anything to do with the rod, but what's with that area seeming to be so explosive with UFOs around that time period? Thank you.
Well, you know, in 1974, I had a UFO sighting coming out of Rio Doso. You know, there's an area where you go down the highway, and then it goes up, and then it finally hits level ground. There was a triangle ship that appeared to me and my cousin Richard and my ex-girlfriend Karen. This is 1974, I forget the month, but it was a triangle ship that just kind of turned. It was right there on the sky. We tried for, you know, taking the photograph. It didn't work, and we had some missing time after that. But I remember going back into Roswell, because at that time I had a rock and roll band. We were playing in Kings Inn in Rio Doso. And I also had a karate school in Roswell called the Shotokan School of Karate. And we told all our students, hey, man, we saw a UFO coming out of Rio Doso and just forgot about it. That was it. But for whatever it's worth, there's activity going there all the time. And I think part of it's military. I think a lot of it is ET. And as far as the rods phenomenon, we have no idea what those things are, but they're very real. It's not insects, guys. You know.
Since that subject came up, we have a flash message from Norway. This is from Paul over in Norway. And first part of the question is, has there been an overwhelming amount of UFO sightings, whereas, in other words, has it increased in the past 4 months? And then, any new development in the rods or rods phenomena? And then he says, where do you see this UFO aspect as far as future filming? Basically, we can see them, and when or if we do see a luminous orb, so there are aspects to the film filming these things so that we can see more of a compelling photo. Thank you, and keep up the good work. We'll keep my ears glued here to the best show in the world. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
Okay, so all of that is yours, and caller, if you will, just hang on. We'll get to you as quick as we can.
Yeah, I'll make this short and sweet. Any amount of photography that you do, you're going to see phenomenon, whether it be orbs or rods or other anomalous things. There are photographs. You can go on the Internet and Google the ISS photographs, okay? You're going to see the moon, you're going to see the Earth, and all that kind of stuff from the International Space Station. But if you look closely, you're going to see these orbs that are there. These are the DROPAs, the same things that are flying around the tether, around the shuttle tether that, from STS-75 or 76, whatever it was. But you can see these things are there in full color. They're very translucent, but you can see that they're always there around Earth. These are living entities, and on the moon, there is an overabundance of these things. You see them. And we're going to focus on that on Luna. Okay, go ahead for the next caller.
All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. Great show tonight. I wanted to ask Jose a question. Jose, I've been following your films, and I find them very fascinating. I'm eagerly awaiting Luna. What I wanted to ask you was, in your opinion, why do you think there is the reason that NASA wants to, like, present the black and white films, whereas the Geological Survey wants to present the colors? Do you think this is trying to just convince those of us who know that the moon is not black and white, that the moon is black and white? And I just would like to have your opinion on that.
Well, I think what happened was, the USGS website has been up there since 1994, as far as I'm concerned, showing the false colors, showing grayscale showing infrared, ultraviolet representations of photography they took of the moon, and then showing the multispectral, which is a full color and full natural color of the moon. It's been there. Just nobody paid attention. John Lear was the first one that brought it to the attention of the public on ATS, above Top Secret, back in 2006. I didn't discover this until January, I believe it was the last 2 weeks before I did the presentation at the theater. I didn't discover that until 2 weeks prior to that, and I thought I was the first guy. Heck no, man, John Lear did it. John Lear discovered this in 2006. So this website has been up there all this time. Now, here's the thing about NASA. They say, no, we never lied. Yeah, they never lied. They just never told us where to look. Okay? And when I stumbled onto this, it just blew me away. And I think what's happening is it's been there. We just never were privy to it and where to look. And now if you go to the USGS website, they've blacked out the first frame. When you go there, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's black. I mean, anyone that goes there is going to say, well, there's nothing here, so you get this, you know, disillusion about going any further. But if you start clicking into it, you'll start seeing the full color of the moon.
So, interesting.
All I had to do, all I did is I just brought it out and I said, look at this. You know, it blew me away. It blew me away. I thought the moon was just gray and desolate like everyone else. But when I saw this stuff, it just blew me away and I had to do something about it, you know.
Outstanding. Debbie, thank you for the call. All right, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. The toll-free number is 888-223-4599. And we would be more than happy to hear from you. Caller, your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Ryan up here in Washington.
Hi, Ryan.
How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, there was a when the there's a video of the when the Iranians filed off their missiles. There's a video that clearly shows a bus flying by. There's a UFO in it, and it's been all over. It's been on the news a couple times. But at the beginning of the video, you see something surround the missile, and then after that, it shoots up into the. Shoot straight up, and then you see a hole punch right through the cloud. And some people have said that it was a shadow or it was something else. But I did some analysis on that, and I zoomed in on it. And this video is on YouTube, but I don't know if there's anybody in the audience that have seen this. I wouldn't mind hearing what they thought about it.
Well, I've seen it.
Have you guys seen it?
Yeah, I have.
I don't think I have.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin, maybe you can send me the link, or Ryan, maybe you.
Yeah, Ryan, I don't have the link anymore, so if you can send it to Jose, he would like to see it.
Well, it's on YouTube. If you go to YouTube and do it, search on it or something. But anyways, I don't know if it's ours or theirs, but whatever's happening, they obviously have an interest in.
Well, it's not a shadow either. It's something real and tangible. Okay, Ryan, thank you for the call. Very interesting. Yeah, it's like looking at a cow and letting someone convince you that it's a Cadillac. And, you know, you look at this video and it's not a shadow. It is not a Cadillac. It's cow. All right, caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, Kevin, it's Mike from Kentucky.
Yeah, Mike.
Hey, Jose, I talked to you last year about one of your films that you had out then. When is this film coming out?
Okay, here's the deal. Luna, I may not be able to pull it. I was going to try to release it mid-November. But there's a couple of people I'm trying to get interviews with, and I just don't have the full capacity to send a film crew out to film them. One's in Florida, the other one's in Las Vegas. So it may delay the release of the film, hopefully by Christmas, you know. Hey, if I get a film crew out there this next week and film these people, I'll do it by the end of the month, because that's all I need to do now is just interview these two people.
And let me say, I happen to know the name of one of those people. I can't say it on the air, but let me tell you, it's worth waiting for.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's someone who will not do radio interviews. And
you know, there's been a lot of these type movies. One Anunnaki was another movie that was supposed to be released in a trilogy, and that thing disappeared.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to disappear, and neither are my films. It's just a matter of budget. You know, I'm selling movie credits, trying to raise the money. I'm still over here trying to survive, you know. I'm like everyone else. I'm not raking in millions. A lot of people think I'm a multimillionaire. It's not that way at all. You know, I put out my film Moon Rising for free because I wanted more people to tune in and see it and see what's going on, you know. And it costs me more than me. Thank you, you know. Yeah. But it's... I'm going to get it done. Don't worry. One way or the other.
Okay, Mike, thanks for the call. We are about a minute and a half away from a break. And, you know, I think you can tell, Jose, there's high interest in this, and especially since they got to see the trailers and see some of the things that you're talking about. And, folks, let me just underscore how important it is. If that's the kind of thing you like, how important it is for you to watch my video blog, okay? Caller, are you willing to wait till we come back from break?
Sure, Cap.
All right. We could get you started right here, right now, and even before you got your whole thought said, we would have to go to break. So we'll just put you on hold, and you hang in there, and when we come back from break, you're first up. But you can see, Jose, people are interested in what you're doing. I mean,
I love it, and I love doing this, and I love presenting the stuff that I would want people to see, because I'm the same way. I want to see the stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what I do, so I love it.
Well, another thing that you and I talked about, and people need to be aware of this, is anyone who's involved in getting this information out to people exists at the edge of extinction. And believe me, folks, we don't make fortunes at this. Most of us don't even make a living at it. All right, we'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest is Jose Escamilla. Let's go to the telephone caller. Are you still with me?
Yes, I am.
All right. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, Kevin, it's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. I don't know if your guest knows about this or not. You know, this is kind of speculation, but I'd like to point out, ever since these other countries, India, China, and stuff, have said, you know, they're going to go to the moon, you know, and they're really prepping up. You know, we've been having some strange happenings. A couple satellites crash together. We shoot down a satellite. We crash something into the moon. I think that, you know, somebody's trying to send somebody else a signal that, you know, if there's something there, you know, they want to keep it for themselves, whether it's us, Russia, both of us, whatever. I just wonder what you think about that.
Well, first of all, you know, the space race was won by the United States because suddenly one of the rockets that actually killed a cosmonaut exploded on the launching pad, and that's how come we won the space race. It took a year before the next cosmonaut was able to go out in space, and here there was a mysterious explosion, and all of a sudden we beat them to the moon, you know, that kind of thing. So a lot of covert operations have gone on. The thing is, when you look at the history, okay, about us being first in everything, and JFK wanted us to be first, you know, be first in this and that and the other, but we were beat by the Russians. The Russians actually landed on the moon before us. That's not put on by the media, but yeah, they beat us. They were there.
Now, are you saying that they were there with a manned mission before us?
I don't know if it was a manned mission or if it was a probe, but they were definitely there on the moon before we were.
I knew about the probe.
Yeah. The thing is the thing with India, you know, suddenly you have, as I said earlier, you have all these nations. India, you have even Hong Kong, you have Iran, our enemies. They're all doing the same thing, man. They're all going to the moon. China already went there and did a whole reconnaissance. So did the Japanese with the JAXA Selene missions, which I think were faked. And Kevin, this is another new thing that I'm going to put in Luna. The JAXA Selene, the Japanese mission, where it shows allegedly them flying over the moon and high definition. I think a lot of that was faked, and I have proof that I can prove that, and I'm going to do that in Luna. But I think what's happening is everyone's trying to get to the moon now to try to recover what it was that we found there. And I think it's a covert thing going on. You know, all of a sudden you have the Elcroft mission to blast a crater to see if there's water there. First of all, we found out there was water there. There was a water vapor back in 1971 that was registered by the instruments left by the Apollo, I believe it was Apollo 12 mission, that registered a vapor cloud, water vapor, that, you know, that traversed the surface of the moon 100 square miles for 13 hours it was there.
Mm-hmm.
Water vapor, they already knew water vapor was there. So what are we doing bombing or crashing a probe into the South Pole to see if there's water there, water vapor? Well, we already knew that back in 1971. There's an ulterior motive going on there.
There certainly are some things that don't seem to add up to rationale and reason. All right, we have a flash message from Mustafa in Sweden. And he says, I have a question for Jose. Here it is. Have you ever seen any real shocking photo of close-up ruins on the moon?
Yes, I have. And those are going to be presented in Luna. And I'm not trying to sell the video because I don't even know. I may just make it available for free on YouTube like I did Moon Rising. The thing is, yes, huge structures that are so shockingly real and detailed, it'll blow you away. Absolutely.
Okay. He says, and one more thing. He's got a criticism of your music in the trailers here. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay.
I get that.
He says,
potatoes.
What's up with the dramatic music? I mean, if you want to convince everyone that there are structures on the moon, at least make the music less dramatic.
Well, I'm a guy, I'm a filmmaker. I want to give you impact with the visuals. I want those visuals to stick out to you, and I want the music to be as dramatic as possible to get you to think about what you're seeing. You know, I could put some candy music. You know, I could put some no music at all. You wouldn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I like to do is, my filmmaking style is this. And, you know, I've been criticized a lot. They say, well, the music is, you know, why make it like a movie? Well, I'm a filmmaker, and I want to give you as an impactful experience as I can using music and visuals.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just what I do. So take it or leave it, I'm going to do it anyway.
Well, here's another thing. Although this will go to a worldwide audience, everyone needs to realize that its first, initial, and biggest audience will be in the United States of America and then Canada. And here, if you plan for people to take it seriously, since Star Wars came out, actually since 2001, A Space Odyssey came out, since then, huge, big, thick, powerful music is demanded if you want to get people's attention. If you don't want to get their attention, use something else. But that's what these audiences here have gotten accustomed to, and that's what their mind demands. I like the music, though, Jose. I like it.
Well, you know, Kevin, another thing, too. You know, I like to make movies that I would have liked to have seen made,
mm-hmm.
and no one made these kind of movies. You know, I like to have I've seen documentaries that had this this campy, cheesy space music, woo, that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Trying to in search of. You remember those shows and things? And I'll go, you know what? I want to give you some impactful music that fits the scene of what you're seeing. You know, I want to bring you into the terrain of the moon and the possibilities of civilizations there. And the way to do it is to give you some music theme that carries you into it. You know.
Well, yeah. You know, the purpose of the music is to help create in me the emotion that I would feel if I could step onto the surface of the moon and look at that thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And it's a mysterious place. So anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Let me give the telephone number out again. Folks, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. And the toll-free number is 888-223-4599. Now, you can. The line is open. You can call, and if you have a question or a comment, we'd be glad to hear from you and hear your question and or your comment. Okay. Now, Jose, I want to go back to the critter that jumped off of the lunar landing module.
Right.
What does it look like to you? What impression did you get when you looked at it?
When I first looked at it, it looked to me like a monkey.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah.
That's what the sort of shape and the way it moved, that's kind of what it looked like. But and I can't say that I actually saw a tail.
No, me too. I didn't see a tail either. But what I did see was movement,
mm-hmm.
because it was a primate, you know. So that was my first impression. That's why I contacted that anthropologist out of New Mexico.
Well, I'm going to take another look at it here. I'm going to take another look at it and see. To me, the thing looks like a monkey.
I tell you, the shape that it gave me, the first impression I got, you remember that Bugs Bunny cartoon where there's this big furry blue monster that has the big shoulders and the big eyeballs and is wearing tennis shoes?
Yeah.
I'm sure you've seen that cartoon with Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
That's what that thing looked like to me. All things. You know, the blue monster in the Bugs Bunny cartoon with the tennis shoes. It was that kind of shape, like it had big shoulders and the arms and tiny little legs.
I'll tell you something.
First impression.
There is another video, and I saw it once, and I've looked for it and have not been able to find it since. There is another video. I saw it on YouTube, and I'm pretty sure it was Apollo 16, but I'm not absolutely certain that it was. But you have two astronauts out doing a walk on the moon, and one of them walks up to this boulder that's as tall or taller than him, and you can see a hand comes out and either grabs him or pushes him. I mean,
wow.
Yeah. And you slow it down and look at it, you can clearly see an arm with some sort of hand on the end comes out and touches him, and he either jumps backwards or stumbles backwards. It's hard to determine which it is.
Man, I'd like to find that footage for Luna. Jeez.
Well, I'll see if I can locate it for you. I haven't seen it in a while, and I've looked for it again.
Was it on YouTube?
It was on YouTube. It's in black and white.
Holy moly.
Yeah, it's in black and white.
I want to see that, definitely. You know?
Yeah. I'll see if I can find it. 623-444-5889. Jose Escamilla says that the debate is over, the photographic evidence is in, and very clear color photographs showing structures, artificial structures, on the moon. Now, let me open the conversation in this direction. Let me open this door. Jose, you said earlier that part of the reason for the name is because that is also the code name used for an alien base on the backside of the moon, Luna.
Yes.
All right, so let me open this door in our conversation with our listeners, and that is, folks, what do you think about the possibility of there being an alien base on the backside of the moon? We've heard about it for a long time. Jose says there's pictures of it. And I think I understood you to say that you are putting those pictures in your film, Jose.
Well, not only that, Kevin, I don't want to digress from anything, but check this out. People can go to moonrising-themovie.com. That's the official Moonrising website. That's moonrising-themovie.com. And in there I have the full color moon, okay, and it's a 52-page ebook. It's my first ebook that you can look at. I also have the Lunar Explorer Archives, where you can actually zoom into these photos and look at these things up close and personal for yourself. And I'm not trying to, you know, be a sideshow freak here, but $5, man, for the full color moon ebook, and check out the Lunar Explorer Archives. It's amazing. You can see for yourself. I don't make this stuff up. This is the stuff that is there available for you. I just happened to put it together and collected it for you, make it easier for you to see the anomalies. You will see the structures right off, no doubt about it. So anybody that wants to spend $5, hey, go for it. It's right there.
And that's moonrising-themovie.com. We have to take a break. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are on Final Approach, ladies and gentlemen. That means we have only a few minutes left in tonight's show. So if you've been trying to get in on the line and you were not able to, now's the time. The lines are clear. 623-444-5889 is the main number, and that will work from anywhere in the world. You can call that number from any place on planet Earth, 623-444-5889. Or toll-free in the United States and in Canada, the number is 888-223-4599. My guest, Jose Escamilla. Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Well, my name is Bill. I'm calling from Elgin, Illinois.
Hello, Bill.
Hi.
Very interesting show.
Thank you.
I have a question for Jose. I haven't had the opportunity yet to see this, these things you're talking about. I intend to. But do you think there's anything in there that is telling enough that it might sort of help things along as far as disclosure goes, since there's so many rumors about disclosure about to happen here pretty soon with the UN?
Well, you know, the thing is disclosure has already been made. The UFO phenomenon and everyone involved, it's been disclosed for the last 50 years as far as I'm concerned. It's just that people have been blocked from acknowledging it. They've been fed a lie and a myth that UFOs don't exist. And if you think they exist, then you are loco, crazy in the cabeza. Disclosure has been done. It's just that the government has not officially acknowledged it. They've kept the secrecy. They've kept the ridicule. They've kept this facade that there's no such thing. When, and, you know, by now you've seen enough to where the disclosure is real. It's not about disclosure anymore. It's about the government just messing up and saying, okay, we lied. Sorry, here's the truth. You know, and when they do, we're not going to be shocked. We're going to be saying, well, that's what we knew all along. You know, in my first film that I did, UFO, The Greatest Story Ever Denied, the slogan is, somewhere in the back of your mind, you've always known it was true. And it's a certain fact. You know, disclosure's already done. It's just a matter of the government fessing up to it.
Well, I think that's what I meant, the government themselves. There's just so much good evidence out there now.
What's the new thing that the government's going to show us that we already don't know? I mean, they might show us photographs of aliens, and a lot of it has probably already been released using the dripping faucet technique, as Kerry Martinek said in Moon Rising. We've probably already seen real, authentic photographs of aliens. We've just been so manipulated and confused that we don't know what's real anymore, you know? So my answer is, hey, they've probably already disclosed it. They just haven't acknowledged it.
Well, hopefully it's coming. The time is coming soon when they will have to acknowledge it. Anyway, as I said, very interesting show. And, Jose, thank you for all your hard work and for being on with Kevin. It's been a real enjoyable 2 hours here. Thanks, Kevin. See you guys later.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
And let me say, caller, very likely he's listening to us on radio or he's listening to us on computer. But when you get home and you're in front of your computer, go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. Look on the menu where it says Watch Latest Show. Click that and watch this show. You will see some of the things that we were talking about. All right, 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. The 888 number is toll-free in the USA and Canada. Boy, we've had some great calls. And, I just will underscore again, you can see how much interest there is. People are hungry to know this stuff. They're just starving for good, solid information and good solid photographs. And I don't think you can get any more reliable photographs than from the USGS. So, you know, I was surprised, though, when you told me that they had been involved in the moon missions. I don't know if I ever knew that, but if I did, I didn't remember it.
From day one, they were there. And that's where the astronauts had a training, alleged training simulation missions. But it would have been the perfect place to do a lunar transmission. They created their own moon landscape and ironically happened to be where they landed. So, you know, my biggest argument, Kevin, is, okay, George Bush says, hey, we're going to go back to the moon by 2020. Okay, why wait? We were already there. In the 60s, just pull out Apollo 11. Let's go. It made it there in the first place.
Well, you know, the reason for that is technological. Did you know that after the Apollo missions, that they dismantled all of the rocketry that got us to the moon? They collected from all the contractors the blueprints, and even if you were just making one screw that went one place in that rocket, they collected the screws, and they collected the diagrams and specs. So
I wonder why.
Well, I don't know exactly why, but the thing is, we don't have anything that can go to the moon right now. We don't have anything that can carry men to the moon.
Hey, they could go to the Smithsonian, pull out that Apollo 11 capsule, put it on top of a shuttle, blast it out. I mean, they could figure it out. Come on. They just tried that new Ares rocket. You know, if it made it to the moon once, it'll make it twice. What's the mystery?
Yeah, the capsule. The capsule, but the rocket to get them there is... Well, they don't have a Saturn V anymore.
Yeah, but even that argument does not work because the money that they would spend on the new one would be trillions of dollars, billions of dollars, whatever. Come on, man.
Yeah, they could pull out the old blueprints and build the old Saturn V rocket again.
That's it. And it cost like, what, $10 million back then? Now it'd be cheaper.
Yeah, well...
I mean, come on, you know.
Yeah.
If the old design did it in the first place, what's the mystery? Let's just go.
Yeah, I think their idea is they want to send a larger crew. And, of course, if you send a larger crew, you have to have a larger rocket. But they could, yeah, they could build the Saturn V and send three in the Apollo.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Sure could. Okay. Tell us again the website.
Moonrising, and it's the minus sign, dash. Moonrising-themovie.com. You can download the Full Color Moon 52-page ebook, and it's incredible photography, and also the Lunar Explorer Archives. It allows you to zoom in and pan the surface of the moon and give it a test drive. You know, I've got all archives up for $25, like 82 photos. You'll spend hours looking at structures. It's amazing. Kevin, I'm going to have to send it to you so you can see what I mean.
Yeah, I would love to see it. Okay, Jose, just stay on the phone with me for a moment as I close the show. Thanks for being with us. It's great to have you back with us.
Me too, man. And, you know, it's a shame that time flies so fast.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's already the end of the show. Jeez.
Yeah, it goes in a hurry. So just stay online with me for a moment. Well, folks, it's called Luna, and it'll be coming out soon. As you saw from the movie trailers that he shared with us this evening, Jose Escamilla has put together something of, I would call it, very high, extreme high interest, something that we're all going to be looking forward to, want to see it when it comes out, and, you know, the sooner the better. I do understand why he's waiting. He's got one person that has agreed to an interview that never does. All right, that's it. That's a wrap. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until tomorrow, so long, everybody.